Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 22? I think this is a few verses you should memorize. It's that important. All right, Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. Jesus said, "You will what? You will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest of the commandments. The second is like it. You will love your neighbor as yourself." All of the law, all of the prophets hang on these two commandments, Jesus said. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity to be in your house today. It's been a tough week for many. And there have been good things, and there have been hard things, and there have been awful things. And Lord Jesus, we are in need of your touch. We humble ourselves before you. We seek your face. And Lord, we seek to be radically loving as only we can do with your infilling. And so, Lord, as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so last Sunday was our fall kickoff Sunday, as you remember. It was a great time. We hosted the Imani kids, the Imani Children's Choir from Kampala, Uganda, East Africa. There they are. These kids are just fantastic. And this was the first time we were able to get them back to Montana since COVID-19. So it was a big deal getting them back out. And if you didn't get a chance to see these fantastic kids, check out our church live stream on our website. You can see that. It was a really fun time. They are really fantastic. And our church elder, Greg, was able to get them three more churches in the valley, which was great. Looks like we'll be able to make that even bigger next year. It looks set up. So that means they'll be coming back. Yay! They got to come back. So what's that? Oh, well, that can be in the works too. I'd love to go back for the fourth time. Definitely. So lots of great stuff happened in the life of your church. Greg and I were privileged to be able to sit down with Pastor James and Miss Lillian and spend some time with them, right? Hearing from their hearts the needs of the Ugandan children. Some of you signed up to sponsor a child. That is huge. That brings them out of poverty, people. You can still do that as well. And we talked about, you know, these children are the future of their nation and the future of the Church of Jesus Christ in East Africa. And they, in a kind note, they wrote this to us, and I quote, "We are deeply grateful for the love and kindness you've shown us during our time in Montana. Thank you for welcoming us so warmly, for the care you've given, and going the extra mile to make us feel at home. May God richly bless you for the love you shared, and may he return it to you in abundance. We truly appreciate you. With love, the Imani Choir." Isn't that cool? Yeah. So we were blessed by their kind and loving words, but we also have to admit we were taken aback a bit as well. Evidently, that is not their normal experience in American churches. We just kind of, we do what we do, and we just think, yeah, that's just what you do, right? You love them, you welcome them, and all that kind of thing. Really, what happens is they come, churches receive them, they sing, the church says thank you, and then sends them on their way. And I'm like, oh, we can do so much better than that. And so it became pretty clear to Greg and I that Mosaic Church holds a very unique and special place in their hearts, and they in ours as well. In fact, Pastor James and Miss Lillian's final words to us were simply this, and I thought this encapsulated it well. They said, "Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us." That is such a Ugandan thing to say. Thank you for loving us. And I thought, you know, when did Jesus' great commandment become secondary? Or worse yet, somehow a suggestion in Christian churches? Now, some of you have been around long enough to remember that when we started Mosaic Church 8.5 years ago, kind of hard to believe, right? We said this, we became convinced that God wanted us to be at least three things: radically loving, radically giving, and radically forgiving in all that we say and do. We've stuck to that conviction. It's made all the difference in life and ministry here at Mosaic. And so what I thought I would do is offer a very short 3-week series just touching on each one of these. I'm calling it Back to Basics, because we can get so distracted in this life, and it's the fall time and things are happening and all that. But what do we need to be really focusing on as Christians, right? So I want to say a bit more about radical loving. So it all starts with God, doesn't it? We love God. We love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And that's really important. So got to start with Jesus' words, Matthew 22. Memorize this. You will love the Lord God with what? All of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. Right? That's the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. You will love your neighbor just as you love yourself. Jesus says all the law, all the prophets hang on these two commands. So this is Jesus' great commandment. And for the life of me, I cannot understand how and or why so many Christians and so many Christian churches in our land have relegated this to some sort of optional category in the Christian life. It is not optional. It is first and foremost. It's clearly taught all over the pages of the scriptures. And look at what the Apostle John says, right? John was the beloved disciple of Jesus. Check out his first letter, his first epistle. It's all over there, 1 John 4. NIV says, dear friends. Actually, the Greek is loved ones. He says, loved ones, let us what? Love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. If you don't love, you don't know God, because God is love. So loved ones, since God so loved us, verse 11, we ought to love one another, right? This week, I was so reminded of the love of so many people. You know, this got me thinking, 8.5 years, kind of, it can go by fast, can it? But I was thinking back, as I was thinking of radical love, I was thinking of all the kind notes, and I kept them. Deb and I received after I was fired from Canyon View Church, right? And these cracked me up because it wasn't raw anymore, and some of them are pretty funny. That outpouring of love that Deb and I received meant the world to us. It strengthened us in a terribly difficult time. I got to laugh out loud this week looking back at these kind notes actually from 9 years ago. And I just categorized a few. I want to share them with you. This one came from a woman who had survived abuse and shame. She said, I wanted to thank you for your openness, your direct attitude, and teaching how we aren't to hide behind the Christian curtain. Ooh, Christian curtain. I loved how direct you were, making sure that we needed to not be stingy and give good tips. Remember that one? Give to others in our community. I started laughing when I preached that at Canyon View. I got in a lot of trouble. How can you say that? And it turns out a lot of people were pretty stingy. And I was still pretty urban back then. And I probably shouldn't have said this. The point was right, but I probably shouldn't have put it this way, because I said, look, if I hear that you are treating waitresses and service gals poorly in our community at restaurants and stuff, I will make a sermon illustration of you next Sunday by name. That didn't go well. They deserve it, but I probably shouldn't have said it that way. We're all learning, right? How about this? Here's one from a woman who had been driven from church because of her clothing. Some of you remember this one? So the young people are like, what are you talking about? Remember when they used to say, I'm sorry, I can't go to church with you because I just don't have anything to wear, right? This made some people mad. At the old website, I said, "We come as you are to church, just don't wear your birthday suit." Some people just don't have a sense of humor. She said this, thank you most importantly for the day we had coffee together and you accepted me coming back to church. I wouldn't be there today if it wasn't for your caring and love. Boy, Christian love should be the most practical thing, right? Don't you think? This one got me to laugh. From the musings of a dear Christian man, I just started laughing. He said, you know, despite your sometimes wacky actions, Jim, You're greatly loved by many people. I don't know if he included himself in that or not. I don't know. All right. Here's another good one. This is kind of a blast from the past, from a former Catholic. Check this one out. I hadn't gone to church in many, many years. I went to Catholic school, and I was told that I was of the devil because I wrote with my left hand. Thank you for helping me bring me closer to God. That was actually a thing back in the day, right? Did some of you experience that? How many lefties we got in here? Ooh, wow, quite a few. You said right here, funny. You know, this goes way back in history. You know, I'm a word nerd. You know what the Romans would say in their Latin language? Your right hand is dexter. Your left hand is sinistre. Correct? Sinister. You know, people who use the other hand, you know, woo, you know, it's kind of, can you trust them? They actually used to say that was of the devil. They used to try and make, how many of you were, your teachers forced you to write with your right hand? Yeah. That was a thing. Mr. Hall, is you a southpaw? Oh, see, if I would have known that before the election, I might have. That was a thing, people. Are we barring the gates of the kingdom in the Church of Jesus Christ for stupid, non-biblical stuff? Now, some of the young people are like, well, that's just weird. Well, it just becomes something else, doesn't it? Here was some advice to my sons from a cowboy poet at that time. I thought this was really helpful, right? You ever notice your kids might receive something from someone else, but not you or me? That's why the Church of Christ is so important. He said this, as men in life, you will have to get yourself up, dust yourselves off, point your nose into the wind in order to avoid the stench behind you and take the first step forward. Right? Once you do this, the next step will be easier and each thereafter. Pretty good advice, right? This one's from a former salesman. I thought this was funny. This is good coming from a salesman, right? He said, Jim, I know that you're somewhat quiet and studious by nature, and there's nothing wrong with that. Just saying. But take a lesson from your wife, Deb. When she enters a room, it lights up. Yeah, that's probably true. Just because I don't like it don't make it not make means that it's probably true, right? Finally, from a dear lady who knew the sustaining power of Jesus in the midst of awful times and circumstances. Oh, she said, thank you, Jim and Deb, for your time, energy, and spiritual efforts. I'm blessed to know you. You're good teachers. You've educated me in God's word without judgment or ridicule. No guilt involved. Always moving forward in love, right? Thanks for being kind. Now, I share these today in the midst of an awful week, not to boast, but actually the opposite. I share that to show how God uses loving kindness of others to get our attention, right? Sometimes in life. The starting of this church, it was many of you and others who had faith and confidence in Deb and I when we no longer had any in ourselves. That was huge. That was precious to us. God clearly speaking through his people, it convinced us that God wasn't done with us. And you know, God's not done with you, no matter what you're going through right now, and some of it is hard. He's not done with you, right? Moving forward in love. God uses the loving kindness of others in so many ways. And so we stayed. And so as Pastor James said, and Miss Lillian said to Greg and I this past week when we sat down with them, I say to you, thank you for loving us. Thank you. So important. Thank you. Right? Yeah. Give yourself a clap. All right. Matthew 22, memorize this. Jesus' great commandment, especially in this awful week, right? You will love the Lord God with what? All of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. You could say all of your strength. And the second commandment, you will love your neighbor as yourself. As a Christian, you don't get a pass on hate. You humble yourself this week. You get on your knees before God. You have that cry, whatever you need to do. but we are called to love, biblical love in Jesus' name, amen. In the midst of all the hate, wow, this is a good reminder, right? Did you know that when Jesus was asked this, asked, hey, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? You know, they were setting him up again. They're out to get him. Because did you know that there are 613 different commands or commandments in the law of Moses? And the religious leaders, it's always the religious leaders, right? Ooh, we're going to get Jesus now. Jesus, what's the greatest? He's sticking his neck out. He said, it's easy. It's all about Christian love. Now, Christian love is a different animal from the world's love, isn't it? And that's really important to mention. You know, these religious leaders were out to get Jesus, ultimately calling for his death on the cross. And as the followers of Jesus, we should not be surprised, I think sometimes we are, that the world has different ideas about what love is, right? We've seen this. What is love? Now, that's why I love to go back to the classic definition of the most famous theologian of the Middle Ages. I've talked about him before, St. Thomas Aquinas. Again, this is what he said. This is what Christian love is. Willing the good of another. Desiring the good of another. No kickbacks, no strings attached. We want the very best, God's very best for that person. Notice you get yourself out of the way. It's not what I can get from you or what you do for me. It's who you are in Jesus Christ, whether you know that or not at this point, right? Love is willing the good of the other. Biblical love does not say anything goes. It certainly doesn't say what the world loves to say today. You've heard me beat the drum on this one, but I'll say it again. It's very common. I saw it on the internet this weekend. Love is love. You know, love is love. No, it ain't. Not from a Christian perspective. That sounds kind of good. It's really a terrible definition. John reminds us, the beloved disciple, he said, God is love. Start with God. For the Christian, it begins and ends with the great commandment. Loving God with your all, loving your neighbor as yourself. Again, love is love. It's a really lazy, bad definition. It sounds good. It's not biblical. It's actually a perversion of biblical love, because we all know you can't have real love if our lives are all about our own little personal egos and preferences. Well, the relativism, well, love is whatever you mean it to be, want it to be. Oh, that's gotten a lot of people in trouble. That keeps my counseling office open 24/7. Love is whatever you make it to be. No, it ain't. No, it's not. And it's not unloving to say that. It's biblical. Right? Notice this. Biblical love always begins with God. Then it proceeds to our neighbor, and then it comes to our own self. If you get this wrong, you will have another very worldly and godless saying that's a little bit older. Right? Have you heard of this one? All is fair in love and war. No, it's not. Not if you're a Christian. Right? Get that one wrong and you're going to have trouble, right? Get that one wrong and then you get the disgusting and deplorable political assassination of Christian man Charlie Kirk this week, right? This is really important, people. And since I'm going for broke, let me just say that when people assassinate other people because they disagree or hate them, right? It never ever works. Do you know this? This never ever works. No matter what you may think about this particular man or not, it does not work. Why? Because you just created a martyr. Martyrdom is one of the most powerful thing in the history of the church, right? A martyr simply means a witness, an enduring witness to their cause. The message becomes even more powerful after their death than it was in their lifetime. You know, that kind of happened to Jesus, right? We're all on the same page, right? Mark my words, it's happened earlier in our country. It happened with JFK. It happened with MLK, Martin Luther King Jr. And now it's happening with a 31-year-old man named Charlie Kirk. He leaves behind a beautiful wife, Erica, and two children. And he wanted to protect his children so much, we don't even know their names. The media doesn't know their names. They did that on purpose. Somewhat ironic, isn't it? They deserve our heartfelt prayers. You know who else deserves our prayers? The young man that killed him. That guy is lost as lost can be. You know who else deserves our prayers? Can you think of his poor mother and father? Oh, it's horrible. I mean, if your kid did that, man, we need to be praying for the Robinson family. Amen? No pass on hate as Christians. The world will do what they will do, but we will do what God says. Amen? Love is willing the good of the other. No strings attached. It's done in a specific order. It starts with loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then loving your neighbor. And yes, as a Christian, loving your neighbor means you love those people you don't like. You know who they are. Neighbors, coworkers, children. I hate that guy. Oh, no, you can't hate them. Because Mama said you don't have to like everybody, but you do gots to love them. Yes, this is so practical, Christian love, and I think we need to think about that this week in the midst of a difficult, difficult week. Now, in the spirit of Christian love, I would be remiss if I failed to mention the passing and homecoming of Mosaic's matriarch, Miss Norma Hill. Now, her home in heaven became ready last Thursday night, right? She peacefully passed into the hands of the loving arms of Jesus. She was anointed, prayed for, and released by Patty and Jim. What a great way to go. Norma remains a great example of what it means to love the Lord with your all, what it means to love others in the name of Jesus. Was it perfect? No. Are you perfect? No. That's not the point of the gospel. We are sinners saved by grace. We can grow and should grow in sanctification. Now, I know many of you had a very special and loving relationship with her and Norma with you, and she deeply loved this Mosaic Church family. She really did. I mean, she was always right here. And loved to be here. You know, no matter what, she was always in church. Let that be a lesson to you. Norma would want you to be in church every week. And I can say that because I knew her pretty well. And she was in church every week. And you know, what a strong lady. I mean, she battled all kinds of stuff in life and health and 95 years old. Pretty darn good run, amen? So September 27th, 1:30 here, we're going to have a memorial but also a celebration of life. And I told the adult ed group this morning, strangely, I'm really looking forward to it. It's gonna be a great time. Yeah, it's gonna be hard. I think we're gonna be bursting at the seams here because so many people loved her, and it's an opportunity to share Jesus. Again, how about that? And that's what Norma would want, I promise you that, right? She wanted some special songs and other stuff, and that's all being put together now as well, and we're just looking forward to that time together, right? And so we say, thank you, Norma, for loving us, right? Amen? Thank you for loving us. We'll remember and celebrate her life soon. More details forthcoming. Here's part of my point today. How are you doing in your life in this crucial area of love? Because if you ain't growing in Christian love, you ain't growing. You can know a lot about the Bible. Pharisees did. You can do all kinds of good works. We talked about that in our Galatians study today. But if you don't have the love of Jesus, the love of God in your heart first and foremost, you're in trouble. If you don't have the love of God first and foremost in your heart, guess what? You're probably not going to love your neighbor well. And if you can't love God or your neighbor well, you probably aren't going to love yourself in a biblical sense. I just love myself. I'm going shopping today. That ain't love. Come on, let's keep it biblical. But I'm going to give my old stuff to people who need it. It's like, here we go, right? Talking about biblical love. How you doing in biblical love, selfless love? Again, please remember, never ever forget, this is what it means as a Christian to go back to basics, right? Jesus' great commandment. Memorize it. You will love the Lord your God with what? All of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, we could say, and with all of your physical strength. That's the first and the greatest of all the commandments. The second is like it. You will love your neighbor as yourself. especially those ones you don't like, right? All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. This is biblical, radical love in Jesus' name. Amen? Let's pray. Oh, Father, it's been a tough week. It's also been a good week in some ways. We just thank you for the Imani Choir and their ministry. We bless them. We have been blessed by them, and we bless them, and we send them on their way to continue to be a blessing to others in love. We were horrified to hear of the loss of a Christian man, a bright light in the kingdom, but we know you're not done, and this is only the beginning, and we praise you for that. We grieve the loss of our dear matriarch, Norma. We thank you for a life well lived, for a loving person who is now in the hands of Jesus, and we get to celebrate very soon together and enjoy that, grieve together, rejoice together, and we thank you for that as well. So, Lord, help us to be more selfless, more biblical in our love. Remind us to humble ourselves before you, to love well, to renounce hate in all of its form, so that Jesus may be all and in all and through all. And we pray it in his name, saying, amen. Amen.